All right, started.
All right, well, welcome everybody to the March 18th meeting of the Diversity, Civility, and Inclusion Working Group. As with all the Hyperledger meetings, all are welcome here, and everybody is to abide by the Community Code of Conduct and the, remind me, what is the other thing? Antitrust policy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had on the meeting that we would do a recap, but since all of us were at Global Forum, I think we will skip the recap. But I do want to say great job, especially for the listening audience that might listen to this later, to Elisa for organizing the diversity event, and then also to Tracy. And Swetha, who's not here, for an excellent session.
Agreed. I thought that session was great.
Yeah, I found it really helpful. Okay. I've open. I think it makes sense at this point to close off the survey. I checked the results right after. Sorry, I got a. Is my audio coming through okay?
You've dropped for maybe 2 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, I got a little notice there. So I checked the survey results right before the meeting and looked like we've sort of leveled off right below 100. I don't see a big boost coming out of Global Forum, probably because of, you know, limitations with Global Forum itself. So unless anybody feels differently.
Do you know, because we were using Salona's SurveyMonkey. So who owns, like, how can we make sure we get access and own that account?
So was that Salona's or was that the Linux Foundation's?
That's a good question. When we were trying to download the results, we had to ask Salona. So maybe Daniela has a handover from that.
I can help. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. Yeah, I mean, Brian and Daniela have been more involved in the Salona handover than I have. I actually haven't been involved at all, so I don't know.
Yeah, my impression was that it was a Linux Foundation account, so if you could just see if there's a way to figure out who manages that.
So has some. So just to make sure I understand, so everybody on the call here had access to the SurveyMonkey prior, and then Elisa, you're saying you don't?
No, I think what we were looking for, I think we can all look at the results. What we can't do is like download and manipulate them unless somebody else has been able to do that. So, and manipulate, I mean, you know, put them into a document.
Sure, sure. Okay. You
know, because we still need, like Layla, our researcher, still needs to align them to, you know, we had the three-stage alignment, right? So what Accenture's results looked like, and we can determine them how we package and distribute, but what this looked like from technology in general, what this looked like from what we had collected to date, just in the broader, you know, not just Hyperledger community surveys, and then the Hyperledger specific.
Okay, yeah, I'll make a note. I'm actually going to be talking to the Daniela and the community architects right after this. So Dan, did you want access to? Should it be?
I don't have any immediate need to do processing, so okay. It might just be Elisa and her crew.
All right.
So Salona had shared the SurveyMonkey account with me. Previously, I'm looking in my LastPass now. I don't see that I have access to it anymore.
Meaning that it got revoked?
That would be my guess. Okay. However, when I did have access to it, let's see, shared with me. Yeah, I have no passwords that have been shared with me anymore. When I did attempt to access it, the problem that I had was that because I was accessing the account from a different machine, it wanted me to request a code that was sent to my email address, which was not obviously my email address. It was Salona's email address. And So therefore, I couldn't get access to it anyway. So like, I never actually was able to log in, but it was originally shared with me, and now it's no longer shared with me.
All right. Well, let me. I'll look into it and get back to. Let me find out, and I'll get back to y'all. Hopefully, that will be easy to fix. I'll just look into it, and I'll send y'all an email.
Great. Thanks. Okay, moving along into the planning section. What we'd started to talk about last time was, can we map out the year, map out some objectives that we want to complete by the end of the year, and then that will probably make our ongoing meetings more productive as well. As well as some specific tasks that we're executing on or needing to collaborate on directly. One thought that I had to get the ball rolling with these is that there's calendars of events that help highlight different communities, and there might be activities around those calendar events that we could engage with. So one specific one that came to mind there is we've got Pride Month coming up in June. And my original thought there might be now impacted by the corona restrictions. But I know that there's commonly company booths at things like fairs and other activities that get set up around celebrations that month. And I was thinking we could really reach out through our marketing committee to companies that are going to be staffing those events, and then provide those member companies with collateral from Hyperledger, like all are welcome here buttons or stickers or things like that to help show the affiliation with the open source community.
Yeah, I really like the idea of doing some planning for the rest of the year, because I don't think we've really had a chance to look beyond Global Forum in the previous meeting. So yeah, great to find good events we want to be a part of or good milestones to set and have that be something that we can drive towards.
Cool. What do people think about reaching out through the marketing committee specifically for that event? And I guess that's maybe two separate things. One is we've been mostly working through the direct contributor community up to this point. Maybe we can widen ourselves to interact with the marketing committee. And then secondly, about how we would do some activities for Pride Month, the kind of idea about
going through our member companies. Here's a couple thoughts. Absolutely, let's engage the marketing committee, which I chair. So we might have an in. No, I'm kidding. But I think it would be beneficial for us to outline goals when we think about how we want to leverage corporate channels. So leverage what Hyperledger does, and it will be doing throughout the course of the next year through its participation in. And again, understanding that there's a big caveat here with what's going to happen with the coronavirus and what that does to outreach and events. We are all making adjustments. So, but I think whenever somebody comes to me with a tactic, my first question is, what are you trying to do? So I think I think we should probably discuss when we think about how we are using channels that are blockchain specific, so Hyperledger and blockchain specific, beyond Hyperledger but blockchain specific, because I can just tell you when we evaluate events that we want to participate in, so for example, like Lesbians Who Tech, even with Grace Hopper, we always evaluate kind of from our perspective, because Accenture obviously has a big presence at these events, but for us, are we hitting a target enough audience to make sure that our message gets through and that we achieve the actions that we're hoping, the results that we're hoping We will. And that includes us leveraging me. Sorry, you guys. Me with, hold on one second. She's policing the neighborhood. Somebody was walking by without a mask. It's actually, it's storms. And so one of my dogs gets anxious and barky. But just, I think if it would help if we just were really clear on outlining if your organization is doing, you know, hitting these particular criteria with its events or community outreach, please consider, you know, adding in these activities, these messages, you know, basically that we are going to put, you know, the blockchain, you know, the DCI messaging and action, you know, calls to action into a packet that will make it easy for people to put into these channels. Because otherwise it just seems a little bit too, I guess my suggestion is let's make it structured and easy for people to understand exactly what we're asking them to do. Did I just lose you?
No. Makes sense.
I'm still here.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think that's really good feedback. So we can start getting more structured on that. There's probably a good win-win here too. Maybe there's three wins in that sentence where companies that are already committed to Hyperledger, they probably want to build that into their messaging so that they're taking advantage of that investment they already have. And the way that they can, one way that they can go about communicating that involvement and that portion of their strategy is to do that with some DCI messaging so that we're also recruiting in the diversity that we want to see here from other companies. So for maybe for next time or before next time, I can maybe pass around a note or put something together on the wiki with a little bit more specifics there. So again, one thought of this was just involvement in the sort of face-to-face events that happen, which might now be canceled. But if your companies, and I guess there's just really the Linux Foundation and Accenture and myself from Intel represented on this call, but for people that might be listening after the fact, for people who might be listening after the fact, if you have an idea about how your company engages in different Pride Month activities, if you could let us know, and that will help us build out what ways that we can engage with those.
Yeah, Dan, thank you for adding that. And along those lines, it'd be great. Maybe we can start a thread on the mailing list about it as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, so part of bringing that one up is just there's an example of here's something that's sort of a calendar-based event that can help us build out the rest of the year. I don't know if you guys got a chance to look through that calendar or you have some other things in mind just in general anyway. That we would want to add on to that list.
I mean, to take a maybe slight step back, since we are in the environment that we're in, do we have any thoughts on virtual sorts of things that could be done, right? Like, I know one of the things that is being done right now is a highlight of women in Hyperledger, right? Is there something similar that we should be thinking about for these different events or different months that would allow us to show the diversity and then at the same time like an ask for like bringing additional folks into the community?
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, a themed month around, yeah, different aspects of diversity. I mean, we talked about in previous calls all the different aspects of diversity. So yeah, maybe to build on I think that's a great idea.
You know, maybe they line up, Dan, with the calendar that you have. Maybe they don't, but, you know, I know there's a, there's a Hispanic Heritage Month that exists. I don't know if that's happened already or if it's coming up, but like, you know, these are sorts of things that we could think about as well.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounded like part of your question was what kind of things can be done that aren't face-to-face?
That's right. I think that's where I was originally heading, but trying to think about what ideas we might have there.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense, given, yeah.
So there's always the blog posts. So that's something we did do a short video recording at Global Forum, along with the other project intros and working group intros. So that's an example of like a short video that's going to be professionally produced, but we could also do more informally produced video content. So blogs and videos come to mind for me.
I think there's a lot we could do. I mean, I really like the example Tracy used, and I just looked it up. So National Hispanic Heritage Month is coming up in the fall, it looks like. But I think that fits in with some of the stuff I'd really want to do. Like, we could have, for example, some Spanish language webinars during that time. I think there's a lot we could do. So I like looking at these themes and having maybe inclusion campaigns, if you will, based around that theme, for that period of time.
Oh, I like that. I like that term too. Inclusion campaigns and Spanish language videos around Hispanic Heritage Month.
I mean, that's just an example, but I'm sure there's all sorts of different sorts of activities we could do around different themes. But yeah, that's one thing in particular. I mean, language-specific webinars has been on my mind just because I deal with people in the meetup community who are literally all around the world speaking different languages. And I've had people in Latin America, for example, talk recently about wanting to do some sort of webinar. So if we could support them. And yeah, I mean, I like that. Yeah. So I guess the question would be identifying what upcoming months there are that we want to maybe, build some campaigns around.
And Dan, the calendar that you provided, I mean, has obviously March being National Women's History Month, as well as Irish American Heritage Month, right? April. What do we do for the National Deaf History Month, right? So like for people who are hard of hearing, how do we start adding captions to videos that exist out there? Things that would help that community. Asian Pacific American Heritage, Older Americans Month, and Jewish American Heritage Month. Lots going on in May. Asian Pacific American Heritage. That's a lot of words. I'm not sure what we focus on there. Obviously June, you mentioned there's nothing in July or August. Is there something special we want to add specifically around Hyperledger for July and August in the diversity kind of space?
Yeah, there probably would be, yeah.
What would that be, I guess, right?
Yeah, I had come across another list of diversity-themed events. I'll have to dig that up and see if there's something for those months as well. So going back to the language impairment, there's also vision impairment, and I don't have the calendar in front of me right now. I don't know if there's a date on the calendar to draw attention to that, but I have been meaning to pull in a subject matter expert that I know in that field to talk about how you do UI design. And that might be something that could be brought either to the TSC or maybe brought to specific projects that are more UI focused. So I don't know if you guys have ever seen like some of the apps that are meant for supporting visually impaired people.
Yeah, I have seen some.
Yeah, so that it's sort of, I think there's different approaches to delivering the content, but one way is that it speaks to you as you navigate through a web page or an app, mm-hmm. and those things. There's probably design patterns for how you enable that. So even if you don't directly do that, there's probably design patterns that make it easier or more difficult if you're as you're developing the top level application. So we could bring in somebody to talk about that and then figure out which way we or which community meeting or which mechanism we use to help disseminate that.
And I think that brings up for me kind of, I think anything we do around some sort of an inclusion campaign needs to have two components. One would be what we're talking about, like finding an opportunity to, outreach to, a certain audience. But I think there's also the internal facing. For example, with the vision impaired example, like if we were to do a campaign about that, I mean, we'd have to audit our, resources to know if that actually, are our websites, are our wikis, are our, tools ADA compliant, and would we even be successful doing outreach to people if they come to the site and then we're not actually welcoming to that group? Like I think of the Spanish, if we did the Hispanic Heritage Month as well, like how many resources do we actually have in Spanish? Not that many, right? So I think we'd have to do the internal part of the campaign as well, auditing what resources we have that are relevant for that campaign, building some resources, like maybe we do a push to translate some stuff into Spanish for fall, for example, So I think it has to have the internal and external component.
I agree. Actually, I think the number one priority is how do we up the participation in this group? Because we're going to be pretty limited on what we're able to achieve if we don't, if we don't get more people kind of involved, whether they're joining the calls or they're kind of raising their hand via another channel. And to me, sorry, my dog is freaking out here, but to me, the one of the challenges is giving people a directive so that they understand that when they join, when they start to participate, that there is something that they are. That we are driving towards, something specific and tactical, perhaps that can help to, to deliver, versus something a little bit less tangible. And I do think it's okay, Dave. I think saying that we are on a journey to making sure that everything is accessible, and that everyone's included and welcome. It's not perfect. But making a commitment to make sure that all of the training videos and everything that they're transcribed, it would be a huge for transcribed and translated, because whether or not you actually do voiceovers or you put subtitles on a video, it's something Accenture does. Dan, I'm sure Intel does the same thing, that we can't publish anything that doesn't have a transcription, that you can download and read the script along with whatever video content we're publishing. I mean, taking that as an action would be, and reporting back on it, I think would go a long way to show people this is time well spent, that we as a community of individuals have a responsibility to all take an action that whatever we can, so join this effort to do X, to translate the materials, to where's your area of expertise that you can help us start to make the environment more inclusive and diverse and friendly.
Yeah. Agreed. And I think we would be able to tap into that expertise if we had like a very specific set of things we were trying to do in a campaign. There are people that I could reach out to help with translations, for example, or
I think that would be worth doing right out of the gate. Saying, that one of the things that we are committing to is that we are going to make sure that we are, cataloging what materials are currently up to date and carrying forward from this point forward, because they're useful, and making sure that they are accessible. And by that, I mean that they, that you can download the transcripts and that those transcripts are translated, you know, into languages that we feel would be, you know, most interested, or whatever languages, you know, people want them to be translated into.
So is that one of the, and this was going to be one of my questions that I had for the group. Sorry, I'm not trying to, I think this is building on what we're talking about. I'm not trying to change the subject away from the inclusion campaigns and these, you know, the schedule for the rest of the year. But I think what we're talking about is, the question I had is, our group, is that part of our mandate? Are we supposed to find out where those gaps are? Because I think a lot of, in my mind, one of the takeaways I had from Tracy and Swetha's talk was that they identified a lot of the places where there were gaps, where it is difficult for somebody to you know, get into the community and be welcome and included. Like, so is that on us? I mean, do we audit and say, hey, in this case, these transcripts are not available, or this information is not available? I mean, I go back and I think the part that stuck with me a lot is, and Tracy, remember, correct me if I got this wrong, but I think you highlighted that many projects don't even document how to become a maintainer, right? So like, if we ran a campaign with the goal, ultimate goal of getting more people in, you know, as maintainers to increase maintainer diversity, if there's no documentation how to become a maintainer, that campaign probably won't be successful, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, it really does require that somebody go through the different documents that we have, right? The contributing guides for each of the projects, and be like, here's what's missing from this one, here's what's missing from this one, right? And it should be a checklist that all of our contributing guides should probably follow within Hyperledger to ensure that, you know, they all meet a certain standard, right? And if they don't currently have those sections or something that is related to that section, then, you know, there's work to be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess coming back to, you know, some of the things that I think were being said, right, which is, if our videos don't have captions and our we don't have translations for our documents, and, you know, these other sorts of things are also, you know, our DCI checklist, if you will, right? That we should probably be making sure that people are following a particular standard within, you know, the Hyperledger community to meet kind of these DCI requirements that we think we have.
So what would that look like? We would create a recommended
guidelines for DCI, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an inclusive contributing guide looks like X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that would be a great resource to have. And then we could use that to, I mean, obviously we can't mandate that anybody does it, but I think having the guide is better than not having the guide. And then we can use that as a conversation point with the different projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as far as you know, I mean, you're more familiar with the technical side than I am, that nothing like that exists. Like, here's what a best in class contributing guide looks like.
I mean, there's stuff out there from other projects, right? Yeah, like if you go out and do a Google search for, you know, contributing guide, contributing documentation guidelines or something like that, right? You'll come up with a bunch of different ones.
Sure, sure.
But
nothing Hyperledger specific.
Nothing Hyperledger specific, that's correct.
All right.
Yeah, that's great. So some of the ways I'm capturing, and I just started to try to get some notes here that let's look at trying to figure out how we prioritize assessing content for accessibility. And one example is the contributing guides. And can we also come up with some sort of DCI checklist? So if we were going to dig into that checklist idea a little bit more, would we say that checklist is specifically about documentation, or maybe we could brainstorm a little bit on what that checklist could be?
I mean, in my mind, I've used the words pathways, a contribution pathway. Like, if we're talking about running some sort of an inclusion campaign this year, the way I would view it is that we would need internal guidelines to make sure that our contribution pathways are viable before we put anybody on them, right? So like an inclusion campaign, would have two components. There'd be that internal facing focus in phase one before we reach out to anybody to do that audit and then to fill in any gaps. And then once we feel comfortable that, hey, there's a viable pathway here, and that would include documentation, it would include all sorts of stuff, then we could turn to the external facing part where we encourage people to start their journey on that given pathway. You know, if it's the Hispanic Heritage Month, that would be we're reaching out to people who speak Spanish and live in Latin America, for example, or what have you. You know, the details will depend on the campaign, but I don't think we could do the outreach until we do that internal part first. I don't know if that answered your question or not. That was just kind of how I'm.
Yeah, I'm digesting it here.
So we as a group can identify a campaign we want to run. We could do the internal part, and then we can do the external part. And then we would work with the marketing committee on the external part, and then we'd work with the maintainers on the internal part.
Yeah, and it's clear from things you said and that I also heard from Elisa and Tracy that we really need to make sure that we're reaching out to people that can create that content or can help lead that campaign that's outside of the immediate DCI working group. I think the only way that we'll really be able to scale what we do is making sure that we get that next tier of contributor involved.
Totally. And if we have
I think, guys, let's do a working deck that is, you know, here's the, and I know that I keep losing my words today. The mandate, the document that's established the group outlines what our objectives are. But I think actually starting to put into place, these are over the next 12 months, our plan of action. The goal is that we want to move the needle in three areas. You know, make information more accessible, build awareness for the group, and I'm just riffing, and do, you know, and make sure that we are present in channels that we're leveraging channels and present with a diversity message in whatever other activities Hyperledger, Linux, and members have going on. I think then it helps people to start to crystallize what the ask is. And then including ourselves, what are we asking people to do? What are we driving towards over the next 12 months? And how do we plan to get people engaged in that? I mean, I think we could do a campaign driven across channels, you know, with pledge to include or pledge to welcome or pledge to, you know, where we're really kind of getting people to pick up something simple to build awareness of what we're talking to them about. But we've got to have the structure in place to say, when we start to build awareness, start to do outreach to additional members and participants to pick up the mantle here, that we're crystal clear on what we're asking them to do, so it's easy for them to pick it up. And that is, you know, what's the vision deck? What's the actions that we want them to do? How can they get involved today? Who do they reach out to in order to make that happen?
Yeah, plus one, I think what you said, I totally agree with. I think it's going to be much easier for us to recruit people to join us if it's very clear what they're saying yes to. And I think to date, it's been a little not super clear. I mean, it's just, I think, a very concrete set of here's what you're signing up for would be really helpful.
Yeah, here's why you want to donate. Here's why you want to allocate your time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think even just starting to put together a straw man of a vision deck, you know, with these various actions and, you know, if there's stakeholders that we know we want to make sure are in the loop, you know, getting them to feel some ownership at the outset by, you know, putting it in front of them saying, what else? Because in each of these, you know, subcategories or actions, we're going to need somebody to kind of oversee that action.
Yeah, and something else I was getting from what you were saying is we need to be mindful of scope. So mm-hmm. As I was starting to think here, it would be cool for us to put out a calendar to say in each month what we are going to be delivering. But I think realistically, it takes us 1 to 2 months to put together any activity, whether it's a big activity or a small activity. And so just thinking about, like, for example, why I picked June is it was far enough out that it seemed more than capable for us to execute on for June. Whereas for March, we're already in the middle of March now, so both it would be very difficult for us to act, but we've already also done action with some gender activity for Global Forum. So I feel like we can kind of count March as a win in that respect. So then this gives us the rest of March and April and some of May to figure out what to do for June, and then probably taking the rest of May and June to start working on, I don't know if it's July or August or September, but something like that. So maybe it's every quarter that we have a milestone for a campaign.
Yeah, and I would have a campaign I would have three very clear objectives for the year. This is a behavioral aspect of anything. So if you say you can see this in advocacy efforts. If you say, ID 2020, 1.2 billion people have no verifiable form of ID. That's very hard for anybody to get their head around. It's like, oh, I can't do anything about that. But if you say, Tracy doesn't have a verifiable form of ID, we collectively as a community can actually get Tracy a verifiable form of ID, and it's going to take these action steps to make it happen. It's this notion, there's a whole philosophy and ideas that stick, and why do they stick, and why do people get involved? And it is because it's the action is measurable and easy, and something that people can actually see themselves participating in and having real impact. So that's what we need to aspire to, is that we need to make sure that we are showing something that says we can do this as a community, and here's what your donation of time and effort can yield for us. When it's too blue sky, it's too easy for people to tune it out.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Okay, so let's maybe start to get to some of those actions then. So I can, in the next week here, either get a thread going and or create a wiki to start doing some of the planning. We can keep that constrained by Lisa's comments about, let's make sure that we've got three specific goals on there so that things are actionable. I have a few tactical ideas about what we would do for accessibility and for Pride Month. So I don't know if other people have some tactical ideas about what we would do for those or any of the other things that we've come up with. I guess Hispanic Heritage Month was mentioned too.
I actually think Pride Month is huge. So in the blue sky realm, I would break that down into even if it's as simple as over the course of the month of June and all of the activities that are in place around Pride Month, these are the things that we want to make sure that we're doing. Building awareness is one thing and clearly important, but what happens after you let somebody know that this all exists? How do we, what's the proof point? Where do we direct them? What's set up to make sure if they come to Hyperledger and pay attention to what we've now put in front of them, that they get what we're promising?
Absolutely. I think that's why, the internal focus is so necessary. Yeah, we don't want to.
That infrastructure is huge, and yeah. I don't think that's ready by June.
We're just going to get people frustrated and annoyed. And yeah, if we say, hey, join us, and it's a negative experience for them, that's not going to be positive for anybody.
And it could, and fair enough to say that, Hyperledger has made a commitment to bake in inclusivity into everything it does, but we have a lot of work ahead. Here's how you can help. that's a different message and it, with different aspirational goals and different things that we're trying to put in front of people. But I think just to be mindful of the fact that when whatever we roll out with, whatever we are doing from a broad-based promotion or campaign initiative, that there's got to be enough thought process on the back end of exactly what are we asking people to do and what happens once they get there.
Totally. Yep.
Okay, my internet was going a little bit wonky there, but I am back. I think I heard the tail end of what Elisa was saying, so I've tried to capture that in the notes here. So maybe what I will do then is just as a straw man, I will set up, again, on the mail list or on the wiki, something about Pride Month and maybe about accessibility and maybe about Hispanic Heritage Month as three areas that we can start doing more of that specific planning and making sure that we've got the call to action and have planning in place for what we do once we've created this awareness. Sure.
And if we want to divide those up and have owners for different ones, I can raise my hand for the Hispanic Heritage Month one. The language diversity is something that's always really appealed to me. I mean, we were just at Global Forum and I think every single talk was in English, but we're a global community. Like, how do we can't really say all are welcome if it's an English only community. So I'm happy if we wanted to kind of divide and conquer up what different campaigns or different themes might look like and how do we tackle them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll get started with those three-ish things and people can self-assign ownership. And if you guys want to own something that's not one of those three, then you can just go ahead and add that to the list and assign yourself as an owner. And then we can figure out how we can be most effective with this small team in being able to execute on any of the things that we do decide as a group to champion. Okay, well, with that, it sounds like we've sort of wound through that discussion, and I think that was the last agenda item for today. So I will give everybody a few minutes back here.
Great, yeah, I'll post the recording and send it out to the list.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.